Welcome back, WNST, Tulsa, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively on Radio Row. We're in Los Angeles, California, and you know, I figured there'd be some celebrities and some people from TV and stuff, but I booked this one, and every year I've had Taste of the NFL guest on. I've had Andrew Zimmern stop by, the founder, Wayne Kostrowski, up in Minnesota, has been a longtime friend of mine. It is a pleasure to welcome Tim Love onto the program. Last time I had you on, you were zooming from, like, your house and your kitchen, and there's books and stuff. This is like, physical, man, like, handshake, elbows. How are you?
I'm tremendous. How are you?
All right. How many Super Bowls for you?
This is my 8th Super Bowl.
Well, I was at your Super Bowl when the ice came and all that.
Yeah.
You're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I said, you're from Dallas. He's like, Fort Worth. And I'm
That's
like,
right.
What's the difference? Tell me the difference,
man,
between Dallas and Fort Worth.
You know, really, it's night and day, and Fort Worth is really just not coming into its own, quite frankly. Not that we don't like Dallas. We do, but, you know, we always say if you go to Dallas, pack a lunch.
Well, you had the famous nightclub in Fort Worth, right?
Famous nightclub.
Yeah, didn't you have a bar? Isn't there, like, a bar?
Oh, yeah, the White Elephant Saloon.
There you go.
Which is in 1883, the most famous TV show in the world right now.
See, I mean, I knew I was going to get some Fort Worth love here out of this. Barbecue, right?
Barbecue. We do barbecue. I've got 8 restaurants in Fort Worth, and one of them happens to be a very solid barbecue joint called The Woodshed.
What was the first thing, like, conceptually, what did you think you were going to do when you were young?
Oh, when I was young, well, let's see. When I was real young, I thought I was going to be a professional soccer player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I played all over the world when I was young. And then,
no, hold on. So when you were young, what turned you on about that? Because, like, indoor soccer, did you see Tattoo play for the Sidekicks?
I did see Tattoo play, 100%.
All right,
yeah.
So indoor soccer.
I also saw Pele play at the old Dallas Tornadoes when I was real young. And that, but the, you know, I don't know why I fell in love with soccer growing up in a football world, without a doubt. I played football as well, but soccer was just my thing, and I ended up being the kicker, obviously, later in life.
It worked out okay for Justin Tucker, another kicker
in
Texas.
Yeah, I should have stuck with it, apparently. Dallas seems to get a new kicker every year, so maybe I should have done that. But
it's fascinating you say that, because Baltimore has an incredible Dallas connection with a man named Kenny Cooper. Are you familiar with Kenny Cooper? Kenny Cooper Jr. was a U.S. soccer star.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny played for that Dallas team as a keeper in the NASL,
yeah,
and then became sort of this legendary, larger-than-life figure in the 80s in Baltimore, promoting indoor. He was
the
we were trying to beat
guy.
Tattoo.
Yeah, that's right.
We were trying to beat Ron Newman in the San Diego
Tattoo. Like, and that, you know, it's crazy how big it got, and then it just kind of fell off. And it's too bad.
Well, in 1984, 85, 86, CBS was going to come in and turn it into a television product.
Yeah.
And it just, it didn't. And they were the first sport. Now, the NBA's got lights and Sirius and music for 30 years. They were the first ones that played rock and roll. The players came running like a wrestling match through, like, dry ice and would hand roses. Kenny Cooper would wear an American flag and he had a British accent. But when I was in Dallas, I had Kenny on last year. Kenny's just a dear. He's a beloved figure in Baltimore, but all of his roots are in Dallas and in Dallas soccer, and his boy was on the United States team kind of for a while and was, so
that's
soccer
at
Dallas.
At the old Reunion Arena.
Oh, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the Stars play there, and I saw a Journey concert there once.
Yeah, me as well.
So barbecue for you. I mean, I think of you, I think barbecue, because I guess I think Texas and barbecue and you and whatever. But was that like a first thing that you did? I guess that's what I was asking. Like, when it came to food, some people are pastry chefs. Some people are sous chefs. Some people just want to make pizza. Some people just want to serve beer and have a bar, and it turns
that's
out
exactly
that they can
right.
cook food, right?
Yeah, and for me, you know, my first restaurant's called Lonesome Dove, and it's a very fine dining, wild game fish, 50 seats. That restaurant has built my entire career. That one restaurant has paid for every other restaurant that I've opened, and I've been fortunate. I don't have any partners.
Well, that's a unique space, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're, where else would I go? You just said wild game fish, seafood?
Wild game and game fish, right?
Game fish.
The wild caught fish. And things like, you know, venison, kangaroo, rabbit, rattlesnake, duck, striped bass, catfish,
alligator. All right, there you go. Well, you know,
if it's got 4 legs, I pretty much make something out
of
it.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, in that vein, and people stepping out and trying new things, I was in Koreatown last night. I was in Little Tokyo. I didn't really discover Asian food till I was 35. I mean, I had Chinese food or whatever that you would say there's some rice and there's some broccoli and there's some chicken.
Yeah, but not some deep ethnic food.
Yeah, I mean, and I've traveled in Asia now, and I've traveled all over the world, but I love food, and I do like trying new things. So when you say rattlesnake or something like that, the first thing is turn my nose up, and the second thing is, well, this dude knows what he's doing. He's been selling it. I want to try it.
Curiosity sets in.
Yeah. I mean, I've never tried that kind of cheese. So Wise Market sponsors us, and I usually have my Wise cup here, and I'll hold it up and all that. And they have an ice cream called T-Berry. And we always talk about foods and different things we've never tasted. T-Berry ice cream. Like, what the hell is that? You know? Like, it's birch beer ice cream, but it looks like Pepto-Bismol. And you might not want to try it, but if you like birch beer, you'd fall into it.
That chalky pink look to it.
Right. Yeah. So for what you serve and the uniqueness, I've had venison, right? I mean, a lot of people shoot deer, whatever. For your place, what would you put me into? What's a starter car for a restaurant?
Well, we make an incredible sausage out of rabbit and rattlesnake, which is really, really great.
So that's a starter?
That's a starter, yeah.
Okay, all right.
We do a kangaroo carpaccio nacho. That's also really great. One of my best friends got married in Australia, and I was fortunate enough to go to this kangaroo farm.
I've been to Australia. Yeah, sure.
And this guy pulls out a kangaroo loin, and he's got the super hot grill, and he rolls it across the grill with a lot of seasoning on, and he slices a piece off, and I'm like, oh my God, that's one of the greatest meats I've ever tasted. And I never had kangaroo at that point in my life. That was 22 years ago. And I was like, I got to make a dish out of this. And so came back to Fort Worth and took the kangaroo loins and seared them very lightly with this like chili rub I put on it on top of a blue corn tortilla with a little bit of boursin cheese, some lingonberry, habanero demi glace, and a little piece of avocado.
He said lingonberry. I like that. Yeah. I like lingonberries. A little tart. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, it's a really nice dish.
Well, I tell you what, Tim Love's here. He's here on behalf of Taste of the NFL, and it's presented by Frito-Lay and Pepsi. I got to say all these things. I'm reading and reading and reading. Tell me what you're doing, because Andrew Zimmern stopped by. I've been to Taste many times, so I could talk about being there with Nancy Longo and serving crab dishes and corn dishes and putting the hat on. And I've done this in, it's been 28 years of Super Bowls. I've probably been to 22 Taste of the NFLs. And I know the cause is hunger for many, many years. But I know things have changed the last couple of years, and you're involved in this. So I want to give you a chance to talk about L.A. because I'm feeling like there's going to be music. There's going to be celebrities.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be, like, great, great, great food.
Most likely going to be great, great food. That's right. The culinary joyride that is the Taste of the NFL is coming up. And you mentioned Andrew Zimmern. He's a great friend of mine. Known Andrew for a long time. But the last couple of years, he and I really kind of create this fun little battle back and forth, if you will, of cooking on stage. And you can also do Taste the NFL at Home. We're broadcasting. It's going to be the first hour or the last hour before the Super Bowl on NFL Network.
No offense to you, my wife loves Carla Hall. My wife loves.
Why is that be offensive?
If she would say, I got to meet Carla. I got to meet Carla. Yeah. You know, but she's already met Andrew.
Well, who don't want to meet Carla? She's funny as hell, as you would say. Like, she's really a fun lady. And I love her soulful cooking. And
yeah, I want to invite her over to my kitchen.
That's like, right.
You want her in your kitchen.
Yeah, 100%. I've done, she and I have done some fun cook-off deals. And, you get the three of us together.
Ming Tsai's here. My wife loves Ming Tsai.
Ming Tsai, Ming Tsai the womanizer. You got to watch out for him. If your wife likes Ming Tsai, you got to watch out.
Well, she's got his book. I know the cookbooks my wife has. Tim Love is here on behalf of Taste NFL. So everybody can participate. So it's open. It's online.
Well, it's online, and you can come. We have an event on Saturday from noon to four, which is similar to the Taste of the NFLs you've been to before, but amped up a little bit more. So we're doing a whole cooking demonstration on stage. We have live music.
Oh, this is daytime.
And it's also a taste around. That's right, daytime on Saturday.
Oh.
And then we have another event that is an hour before the Super Bowl that's on NFL Network. But what I say to everybody about the Taste of the NFL is, while some people said, man, that seems expensive, it's $1,000. I'm like, well, not really, because the ticket to the Super Bowl is like $20,000.
Right.
So you can come to the Taste of the NFL and see more players, eat better food, have better music,
and still watch
and have
game.
A lot more fun, and still watch the game, right, for $1,000. And $20,000, you sit in a seat with a mask on, and you're like, what the heck's going on?
Now, you told me you've been to the last 8 Super Bowls. I've been to 25 of the last 28 and broadcast from 28 games. So I'm never in front of my TV. I'm never in a basement at a party. I'm never with chips here and shrimp
dips
cocktail.
There. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, but I know that that's the way other people experience it, and I'm blessed. I experience it in the upper deck, watching the game, taking selfies, eating good food in the parking lot, looking for the Black Crows before the game or whatever. for you, what, take me back 10 or 15 years in a Super Bowl. You're a football fan. You're from Dallas. It's not a Dallas Super Bowl or anything, just a Super Bowl 20 years ago. If you were to throw a party, what's on your Super Bowl menu if you're having people
over? So, yeah, if I'm having people over, like, that's a great question. I'm going to keep the grill on all day. So what I like to do when I have friends over for any football game, but especially for something like the Super Bowl, it's just a constant revolution of different foods, some bacon-wrapped scallops, some grilled lamb chops, some chicken wings, some burgers, little pieces of steak.
This sounds like
kebabs.
The Korean joint I was in the other
day. I just keep it
little
going.
This, a little some this, mushroom, a little, yeah, yeah. Little frog legs they had on there. Right. They had some things going
because
in
when you, you know, the best thing about Super Bowl is a lot of times, like you say, the food, what people bring over. So it, if you can keep the grill going all day, it just kind of keeps entertainment flowing and stuff like that, especially a couple hours before the game. People come over a little bit early. You make a big set of cocktails. Like I would make a big set of Palomas this year and then make some tacos and have a nice queso for people to
I'll
dip
come
and all that
to his
stuff.
House, see?
And then you just have some grilled.
Cowboys are never going to the Super Bowl anyway. You
here we go
available.
Again. I've had to hear this all day. You know, when I get back, I'm going to talk to Stephen and Jerry like, listen, I've been out here defending the Cowboys the whole Super Bowl. I mean, like, we got to get ourselves together.
It's easy to dislike the Cowboys. It really is. I mean, it makes it. How do you feel about this thing here? I mean, this has been a wild scene, right? Los Angeles?
And it is.
I haven't been over to the stadium yet, so I'll be there on game day. I'm really looking forward to getting there early and seeing
the
SoFi.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Correct. I haven't been to SoFi Stadium yet, so I'm really excited to see it. I mean, it looks incredible on TV, and it seems incredible from the air, but it'd be nice to walk in the middle of it. You know, being from Dallas, you know, going into Jerry World, I have to say I've been to a lot of new stadiums, and it's hard to match.
Well, it's just so
Cowboy
big.
Stadium.
It's just big.
It's just massive, and it's just so nice. I mean, it's so nice inside. I mean, I went to opening game at the Raiders against Baltimore.
Okay.
That was a heck of a game. On that Monday night game.
And we lost. I remember.
But I mean,
John Harbaugh didn't like it.
it was a nuts game, though. It really was.
It really was. It was 110 degrees outside and like 55.
It was the weirdest thing. And I walk in that stadium.
Goofy torch. That torch.
I don't understand
the Raiders thing. I mean, it's like, yeah.
The outside of the stadium looks incredible. You walk in, though, and it just doesn't compare to all the new stadiums. So I'm anxious to see SoFi Stadium.
Well, I loved Minnesota, and I thought Minnesota did a nice job.
Yeah.
They had that glass, and architecturally, it's beautiful.
Super cold.
It was really
cold.
That
might be the coldest Super Bowl in history.
Poor Eagles fans, you know. I was partying with them. I left the party at 4 a.m., went straight to the airport. It was a long, long night with Jimmy Schwartz and the boy Joe Douglas. Tim Love's here. Carla Hall, Andrew Zimmern, Lashita Perry, Mark, pronounce that. I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I get it wrong. And Ming Tsai, I can say Ming Tsai, but I can't say that. The event is Saturday. You can tune in, and Super Bowl Sunday as well. Taste of the NFL at home at NFL Network. You guys are going to be on NFL Network as well. So, all right. Well, we've talked a lot of food. I just want to say one thing. I changed my brand a couple years ago to Baltimore Positive. We now use a crab, a Maryland crab, as part of our logo.
Okay.
And Zimmern and I got into this 2 years ago, because I wasn't here last year, about what makes a crab cake. And he had one recipe. Simple. This, that, boom, boom. That's the only way to do a crab cake. I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days in the month of August in the state of Maryland.
Ah.
I went from Eastern Shore
to
the mountains. Well, I mean, it's on video. You can see my little vignettes imitating guys like you and Guy Fieri and whatever. And I met people. And, you know, it was an open conversation about red and blue and right and left and the Eastern Shore and the Western Shore and the city and the county and the farm. But everybody makes crab cakes differently. And every restaurant would say, I got a great crab cake. In the same way, a lot of restaurants say, I got a great burger. And the way they do it or whatever they think they're doing to it. But crab is one of those things. Everyone makes it differently. Everyone.
100%.
And then the quality of the meat, the freshness of the meat, where it comes from. So I've really been getting into food, and it's been fun.
As you should.
Yeah. I'm staying skinny. People keep saying you spit it out. I don't spit it out.
The thing about food is, you know, it never ends. The education never ends. The fun never ends. The people never end. The stories never end. It's unlike anything else in the world. You know, as my good friend Jose Andre says, you know, don't build walls, build bigger tables. And the more tables you can build, the more fun you're going to have in your life, without a doubt. I mean, I'm writing a book right now on the drink screwdriver.
Okay.
It's two ingredients, right?
Right.
Everybody knows what a screwdriver is. It's orange juice and vodka. You go get a screwdriver anywhere in the world, it's different. It's the craziest thing. So it's the craziest experiment I've ever had in food, because you think with Just two, and everybody knows what the two ingredients are.
Yeah, here's how to make a cake. It's this and this and this, and that's how we make a cake. And you have 10 people make it.
There's no argument that what a screwdriver is.
Right.
It's vodka and orange juice. Yet every single one you get is different.
What percentage?
I mean, it's the craziest thing.
How much pulp?
Yeah, how much? Well, like, is it fresh orange juice? Not fresh orange juice. Does it come out of a can? What kind of ice do you use? How tall is the glass? How small is the glass? Do you squeeze the oranges, or do you put them on that electric juicer? It changes the whole dynamic.
What brand of liquor?
Yeah, it's the craziest thing. I mean, and that's what you'll learn. I mean, if you break something down to that, what else has just two ingredients? I mean,
think about this
ice
pizza.
Water.
Let's have
it.
Pizza. What does pizza mean to you? My God.
Yeah, it's monstrous.
Yes.
It's monstrous.
Well, and I felt that way about crab cakes, that I could go the rest of my career, and this is my 31st year doing this, having a different place to have a crab cake every week and never having the same experience twice. And crab balls, broiled, fried, what slurries
it's like
are
you
Bubba
using?
Bubba Gump's. Bubba Gump has a crab cake. I haven't had it yet. I'm going to go down to Harbor and try it. Tim Love is here on behalf of the Taste of the NFL. Come have a crab cake with me one day,
yeah,
man.
Heck yeah.
My dear friend Julio Bermejo is going to be over here later. He owns Tommy's Mexican Restaurant up in, he knows Ming and is very involved in the liquor industry and tequila industry. So I'm going to put you guys together and have some fun.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because we were out eating last night. It is... I have cultured friends who've never had bingsu. And the only reason I've had bingsu is because of a visit like this. Zimmern came by like 5 years ago. I barely know who he is because I don't eat weird foods. Not your food, but I'm not eating octopus eye. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that. But I'll eat any calamari you put in front of me, right? But we got to talking, and not just, it was before the crab cake conversation, and I saw him on TV eating this Korean shave ice at Grace Kitchen in New York City, two blocks from Madison Square Garden, a place I'm there all the time.
Like, you walk by it every day.
And I saw it, and I'm like, I got to go get that next time I'm in New York. And I did, and it's sort of been life-altering. It's made me go to Korea. I wanted to tell Andrew this. He's not here. I've gone to Korea, but I was in Koreatown twice this week, and I took friends last night to this wonderful place, and they're like, this is so light. I've never had anything like it in my life. And I'm like, perfect. If every day you try one new thing.
That's right.
You know, and it's a real turn-on when you get a palate.
Well, that's
you find something, you're like, I would never would have tried this.
That's right. You only have, all you need is one person that you have respect for, or you had a good time with, or somebody that made you smile, and they say, you should try this. And you go, what the hell? I'll try it. And next thing you know, it changes your whole perspective on a lot of things, not just that one thing.
I remember being with Julio at a Rolling Stones concert in Rio de Janeiro 15 years ago. And you couldn't get out of there because there was like 2 million people and there's water. So you're sort of trapped. We went down to the market. It was a beautiful market, like reds and greens and blues. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. It was upscale. It was very nice for Rio. We went in. He said, pick up anything you've never seen in your life and put it in the bag. So we went through the produce, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is. Yeah. Put it in the bag, you know. And we went back to the room. We had
a few.
Several. Walking, talking. We got back to the room, and, you know, he took out a knife, just started cutting stuff up and throwing a plate. I'm like, tastes like a mango. Yeah, it tastes like a persimmon. You know, and you just start tasting things, because when you're walking through a market somewhere else in the world, you're just going to see stuff you've
never had.
Oh, man, when you walk through an Asian market, it's crazy.
That's when it goes crazy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're like, you're a little afraid of it. You're a little like, Google it. Does it taste like cinnamon? What does it taste like, you know? How are you? Is there anything in the world you still haven't tasted? I mean, you still experience things at an event like this? Some chef will come up and you'll say, what is that?
Well, you know, yes, there's always that opportunity, I feel like, in food. And you think I say this all the time, if you think you've invented something in food, you're grossly mistaken. I mean, it's already been done. It's been somewhere in the world. You didn't invent it, okay? Nobody did. We all live off each other. We all learn from each other. We all create things because somebody else created something else. And once you get that in your mindset in the food world, is where you really start learning about more and more about food. And I say that all the time. So while things may look new to us, it's already happened. I mean, you're not creating new things in the food world.
I remember when sushi and tacos came to Baltimore.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Back in the 80s, you know. Nobody ever heard of a taco in Baltimore in 1980.
Which is nuts, right?
Like, Taco Bell was the first place I ever saw a taco in my life. Literally.
And so, you know, it's like Tex-Mex. I mean, even in New York, which I feel like has some of the best food in the world, without a doubt, it's still tough to find really good, genuine Tex-Mex.
I could get
York,
you some right? Shanghai dumplings that'll blow your
That's
mind.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Tim Love is here. Hey, crab cake. Do you like? Have you had Maryland crab cakes in any frequency or been to Maryland? Or what's the best one you've from a flavor profile? What would be a, if I said to you right now, if you and I were doing a chop challenge, right? You and me, right? You're going to make a crab cake, and I'm going to make my crab cake. What would your crab cake be?
I would use blue crab.
Okay.
Because that's what I grew up on.
Right
blue
on.
Crabs in Texas. I'd use blue crabs with sweet red pepper, celery, a little bit of red onion, and I'd put jalapeno, mayonnaise, and I'd grind up my own breadcrumbs and sear them.
Now, see, in Maryland, I'd be really honest with you, just what you said to me, no one's ever put that. No one would ever think of putting that on a plate because it doesn't have Old Bay. It's not a traditional Maryland, like, you know, not every place has Old Bay. I was shocked to see every place I ordered a legitimate restaurant crab cake. Now, and I didn't, like, go to Gucci upscale places, but I did go to a few. Yeah. But you don't need that with a crab cake. And I definitely went to shack places that serve crabs, and crab cake was more of a fried afterthought. Like a fried hockey, not a back fin jumbo.
I got you.
And I like it just as well, but I would say for every meal they served me tartar sauce. And where I came from, I was astonished by this because I'm 53 years old. I've been eating crab cake from Baltimore. I've never thought it. Tartar sauce is for a fish stick. Like, I just would never.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And every place I've witnessed, I looked in the restaurant, the little cap stays on it and it gets thrown away. And I said to all the restaurateurs, by the time I got to day 10 and I'm throwing it away for the 10th day and I'm doing shtick on radio, I'm like, does anybody eat it? Ask your servers how often when it comes back to the kitchen, you're just throwing it away, right? But I guess people in the Eastern Shore eat it. I mean, literally, like, it's an older thing, but I've never heard of such a thing, to kill a crab cake with
tartar sauce. Yeah.
Out of a can.
Maybe, a nice little light butter sauce or something like that.
See, now, but when you said red pepper, 99% of, like, the people that I do crab cakes with... Heresy. But if you go into a Greek-owned place, they will absolutely have a pimento involved in it. Yeah. I love that flavor. I love it. It sweetens it up.
That's what,
I love that flavor. But that's not... But different places, different folks, different strokes. Kangaroo, venison, and a great, great party. Taste of the NFL. Tim Love's here. He's from Fort Worth. Not Dallas.
Not Dallas. Not Dallas.
Tell everybody
Fort
how to
Worth,
find
the 12th
you.
Largest city in the country. Now, did you know that?
If Jerry just would have built it over there instead of in Arlington.
Over there,
y'all got a new baseball stadium you don't need. It's crazy, man.
Here we go. Oh, boy.
I'll come have barbecue with you anytime if you come have a crab cake with me. Hey, I appreciate
100%.
You, man.
Appreciate
I know you got places to go, people to see, and meals to cook. Tim Love here on behalf of Taste of the NFL. Everybody can check it out. It's going to be an NFL Network this weekend as well. I've been a big supporter for a long, long time for Gen Youth and Student Hunger Fund, Feeding the Children. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We're on Radio Row in Los Angeles talking food, making me hungry. Now I need a beer.